Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Coordinating Committee meeting for Monday, October 1st, 2012. It's 7:36 p.m. Central Time, 8:36 Eastern Time, 5:36 Pacific Time. Campbell, can you call a roll for us, please?
I sure can. Teresa Allen? Can't hear you, Teresa. Nia Bediaco?
Present.
Thank you. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Thank you. Bill Crozier?
I'm here.
Thank you. Campbell Johnson is present. Afia Mwangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Okay. Summer Reese? Can't hear you, Summer. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Thank you. LaVarne Williams? Can't hear you, LaVarne. Mr. Chair, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 members present, so we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I sent an email earlier today. The main thing I don't know if we need to talk about is the in-person meeting. And pick the next meeting for the coordinating committee meeting. I don't want to meet this to be a meeting, but I'm sure we'll have other things to talk about. Anybody else have things for the agenda?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, that's easy. Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda the way I read it?
So moved.
Okay. Any objections then? Hearing none, then the agenda is approved.
Okay.
And yeah, when you get us the minutes, Campbell, that'd be fine. We can work on them next time, I guess.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, we had the PNB had voted to have an in-person meeting in the last part of October, first half of November, I had a couple of people that didn't finish checking things out, but I'd got somebody else to find us a hotel here in Houston, pretty reasonable rates. But I know people are talking about, because of our cash flow situation, do we really want to continue to have it then, or do we want to delay it, or whatever? And the weekend that looked like it was best for most people, least bad, was the weekend of November 9th through 11th.
This is Teresa on the line.
Hi, Teresa. So if we have it, that's when it's going to be. But we don't have a contract yet. We haven't made a deposit. The hotel needs a deposit, 50% deposit, which is refundable. But if we cancel.
Bill, this is Summer. I'm on the call.
Oh,
this is
Summer.
Nia.
Oh,
Bill.
Hi, Nia. Go ahead, Nia. We're talking about the in-person meeting. We just got started. So go ahead, Nia.
Yeah, I would really like to speak against having the in-person meeting. I don't know. I think you're better than a candle for this. There needs some light on this situation. Made a motion to rescind that. And the reason I'm strongly urging people to not have the meeting, I mean, the financial picture is just so bad. We're laying people off. We can't pay our contractors. Our payables are God knows where. And, you know, it doesn't make us look very good to the staff. The staff is already resentful of the boards. For us to be going off on an in-person meeting that's going to cost whatever it's going to cost. It will probably be somebody's half a salary, you know what I mean? And there are people who need to be paid. I mean, the National Electric Supervisor, the auditor not being paid, and various and sundry other people. I just think that we really need to stop and be fair and just think about how we're perceived. And right now, I think we would be perceived as being totally unconscionable if we were to go ahead and spend this money on having an in-person meeting. And it's insulting to the staff that that has that are laid off and are being cut for us to have a meeting. So I strongly urge us to not do that.
Ms. Chair.
Okay. Yes,
and this is Lydia to the stack.
Okay, Gamble, then Lydia.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I totally agree with Nia, and I've sent to the board a motion regarding this. You know, the most fundamental notion of fiduciary responsibility that we all have by law to the foundation and its preservation would say that an in-person meeting would not just be irresponsible, but I think that some people might say that it would be insane for us to undertake such a thing, considering our current financial posture and the challenges that certainly WPFW is facing, and I believe that all of our stations are facing. We may have an attractive cash flow as we open up an envelope or two from a donor in our most recent drives, but the thing is, overall, we know that we are in a very tenuous financial situation that cannot really afford the what is now going to be an extravagance of an in-person meeting that's going to sap our resources, especially when we have other capital issues that may jump off big time and can really cripple the foundation. Thank you.
Teresa for the stack.
Okay, Lydia and then Teresa.
Yes, first of all, I have a question. Was there an actual motion, or did we just start planning because it's in the bylaws? And that's one question. So I need to know if we need to have a
motion. Was there a what?
Was there an actual motion at the PMB?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It was
so
back in August.
To be noticed to be rescinded to consider Cavill's bet. So the thing is that when these bylaws were crafted and when we thought it was at a time when Pacifica could better afford those in-person meetings, although I've got to say, even by the next year, I thought the four was excessive and voted opposite for my slate at the time. But anyway, the point being is that those were times when our membership was on the rise, when we had come out of movements that were, you know, the Take Back Pacifica and all of that, where we had people throwing money at those efforts. But there was some, I think, mistaken belief that that money would, and those people would continue to be so grateful for that effort, that that would keep coming, and that certainly was not the case. So, and it also came at a time when we had spent countless hundreds and hundreds of hours crafting the bylaws, and there were various plans for the bylaws and so forth, competing plans and so on and so forth. So at that time, there seemed to be, well, there was a real need for that, having that many meetings. But nothing lasts forever, and there is a reconsideration of the situation that we see ourselves in right now. And so, of course, you know my standing position has been not to have this third meeting. And so I think that now that we have an even clearer picture of what I thought we already had, that we should absolutely, it would be completely irresponsible to go forward with this particular meeting. And even though we're embarking on the ED and CFO searches and so forth, but that can be facilitated, hopefully, like with a Skype, one at each station that we can all go to, and the affiliates can do it from home or whatever, but we need to find another way to do this, and I don't think that it will be, those will be ready anyway in time for the November meeting, and then after that is the holiday, so it doesn't make sense.
Okay, Teresa?
I'm going to
put myself in the stack after that.
I'm thinking that at the time of creating the bylaws, and I was there when we created the bylaws, there was just a lot of paranoia. There was a lot of angst, and people really wanted so much involvement at the local level that we created big boards, and we tried to think of ways to involve more and more people. And you know, I'm not that. I mean, I want lots and lots of volunteers, and I want our stations actually to be seen as, you know, constantly pulling people in. But I think we need to hear from our IED, because I heard her say that this is very, very serious, our financial problem, and I would like to know. You know, I would like to have a vote on this. I would also call people's attention to the fact that we just got something again from our auditor about taxes that were owed, so maybe somebody can clarify that. And maybe sometimes I think we don't listen to our IED. I mean, there were times that I thought that, that Arlene was too polite or too diplomatic, so that it just didn't even sink into our heads what she was saying. And I'm not asking that Summer be more blunt, but I think that she might have to make sure that we understand some of the repercussions of what she's saying when it comes to the finances, and make sure we're on the same page. Maybe take some votes to see if we support what she maybe proposes as solutions, and maybe get the finance committee involved. But I heard her say pretty seriously that she's worried about our finances, and I'm worried about it too. So I hope that after this, we will let Summer have something to say about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm here, Bill.
Okay, thanks. Well, okay, I'll put you on the stack after me then, if that's okay.
Okay.
I'll be brief, but I still think there's a lot of value to an in-person meeting, and I'm open to suggestions for changes if we can accomplish what we need to accomplish in some other way. I'm still not real sure we can accomplish some of these things other ways, though. Just a reminder, we have cut the cost substantially for the in-person meetings, and Houston is probably the lowest cost location when we do have them. I think we could probably cut things further if we insisted on not paying more than the lowest cost airfare for each person, for example. And if people want to share rooms, let them pay the extra amount for the extra. I mean, if they don't want to share rooms, let them pay the extra amount. But most people do share rooms anyway. But the, you know, some of the things that the in-person meetings that are really valued, I think we need, are first opportunities to talk to people outside of the official meeting. We cannot do that at all in conference calls. And it's probably one of the most valuable parts of getting together in person. You can also talk to other local people, not just the people on the board, talk to staff and volunteers and programmers at each of the stations. We've been trying to, we kept putting it off and didn't get to on the schedule in the Berkeley meeting. We wanted to have a longer discussion about development and fundraising and strategic planning. And I know I agree with Campbell. Campbell's been wanting to do that for a long time, and so would I. If we could figure out a way of doing that somehow without having an in-person meeting, that's great too, but I'm not sure how that's possible. We make a lot more headway in the in-person meetings. We don't eliminate the cost by having more telephone meetings. Telephone meetings cost money. We pay per person, per minute, for each person that's on these calls. About a year ago, we were running around $1,000 a month just on the phone bills for Ring 2. If somebody can check out all the options for another option, and get agreement from the board to do it, that's fine. But we've suggested before not using a toll-free a telephone number. We get objections from that. So people claim it's not fair to people that don't have free or long distance. We looked into Skype or something similar where people would go to their local station for the length of the in-person meeting and stay at home at night, no airfare. But it turned out it looked like we'd probably end up having to pay local staff additional time to be there to run the equipment. And that's five stations and maybe more for the affiliates. And so that's additional expense also. The conference calls get really tiring, and with the big our big boards with all the interruptions, I mean this call is fine. You know, it's a nice size for a conference call, but when you start getting the whole PMB together, it's really hard, and it just will drive people crazy having meetings more than about 3 or 4 hours on the phone, I think. So that's my overall opinion. But if we can find a solution that will let us accomplish what we need to accomplish, that's okay with me. I understand our cash flow problems. Summer, I believe you're next.
Thanks, Bill. Well, I agree with everything Bill said in terms of the value of in-person meetings. I think they're extremely valuable and very helpful, and you get to know who everybody is and deal with a lot of stuff face-to-face that doesn't happen during the phone meetings, no doubt. That being said, I do find it interesting that we can have fewer meetings even though the bylaws call for a certain number, but we can't cancel elections that the bylaws call for, which makes no sense to me because quite frankly, not having the elections this season would have been the most cost-effective, fiscally responsible thing this organization could have done, was not spend that kind of money just to put more people on the local boards, just to filter people up, to run an organization that has such issues that really all of our money and all of our attention should be on fixing the administrative functionality of the organization. That being said, I already asked if I could go get a court order to preemptively stop these elections before I signed that contract, and the answer was probably not. So I signed the contract, and we're going to go forward with the elections. But I do have to say that I think the cash flow situation is sufficiently urgent. It's an unknown quantity how some of our stations will do in this fall fund drive. I surprisingly would support not having an in-person meeting this fall. Part of that is also based on the fact that I don't think, well, I would like to see that the search committee is, since we still have a contract that will be over soon, it would be nice to think that there might be a pool of candidates to review in that situation on time for that deadline. I don't know that that's realistic, however, because if we had a board meeting in mid-November, that would be like 6 weeks from now. All of us have served on these search committees. I've never seen enough resumes come back in 6 weeks, frankly, to hire somebody. And if they did, conceivably, we could all, they could be reviewed electronically. A vote could be taken telephonically. I think we will have all the budgets out of the way significantly in advance of the scheduled in-person meeting. So I think if we had a pool of candidates to review at an in-person meeting, that would make some sense to me. And we might end up with a pool of candidates in time, but that's dubious to be sure. So I would say yes. I mean, sitting in the position as, in the executive position as opposed to the board member position and dealing with the cash flow issues throughout the network and, what I have to supply to third-party vendors here to show what our position is, I'd prefer not to spend one extra dollar right now that we didn't have to. And that's a reality. I do think there is a loss in not meeting in person. I think that there is definitely benefit to in-person meetings. I'm not sure that this one, at this time, with what's going on financially, makes the most sense because it is money that we'll be spending on that. And that, as for the telephone situation, Teresa and I had a long chat earlier, and although many people, yes, do have the ability to call a toll number because they have free minutes in the evening, we could conceivably, and she and I discussed this, poll our members. I hate to say it, it costs a dollar for a phone card at the 99-cent store for 99 minutes. It's a penny a minute. Conceivably, it would be a lot cheaper to send an envelope with 10 phone cards to each board member that doesn't have unlimited minutes. For like $100, we would cover an interminable number of meetings. It doesn't fix the interpersonal dynamics of not being there together in person working on problems. But final answer is yes, I don't personally think we should be holding the in-person meeting because I think we will have the budgets out of the way. I do not think we will have a sufficient pool of candidates to make it a real a board meeting that's focused on that per se, even though I do think that it is critical that we certainly focus on that. And the cash flow situation is sufficiently tight that, you know, I am literally, you know, going through things and clipping $5,000 out here and there and trying to slenderize any part of our situation that doesn't require money. So that's where it's at. I will, you know, leave it to all of you as my colleagues, but I do agree. I think we should skip it. And I think that there are probably some, there's potential PR issues with meeting. I mean, there shouldn't be, frankly. Meeting the board meeting when your organization is in a distressed state is something the board should be doing. But I think we need to be doing it because we're accomplishing very specific things at that meeting. And this particular season is particularly tight, and I do have concerns about the pledge drives, particularly for some of our stations, which will obviously affect the cash flow situation for this first quarter of the brand new fiscal year. Happy new fiscal year, everybody. So, okay, so that's me. I'm there.
Hey, Bill, Teresa here.
And this is
Teresa, summer?
Yeah, I'm through. I mean, I just, you know, it's with big comfort that I say that we shouldn't have an in-person meeting. I prefer to have an in-person meeting. But operating purely on a fiscally responsible basis, I think that it would, I would skip absolutely everything that we possibly can without having a legal problem at this point in all sorts of areas of our, business life here. So, all right.
Okay, so Teresa,
yeah, this is Tracy. Could you put me on the staff, Bill?
Yeah, and then Lydia, and I heard Teresa.
Okay, let me let Tracy go first, and then Teresa, and then Lydia.
This is Ifia coming on.
Oh, Ifia, okay. Did you want to say something, too, on this?
Oh, I don't even know what you all talk about. No.
We're discussing whether or not to continue to have the in-person meeting that we had decided next month. So waiting for frozen times.
You can put me on the sack at the end.
Okay.
Well, she needs to go now, Bill, because she hasn't spoken yet, and the rest of us who...
Because she hasn't spoken yet either, and then I'll put a feed on, and then Teresa and Lydia can
speak. She did speak. Teresa spoke.
Right, but I'll let Tracy and Afia go first, and then Teresa and...
Lydia. Oh, okay.
Okay, so Teresa? I mean, Tracy?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're getting your keys all mixed up, Bill.
I'm going to go off and come back on.
I think you mean me. Do you mean me?
Tracy,
okay.
Afia, Teresa, then Lydia.
Okay, got it. I certainly agree with what Summer's saying. When we're talking about financial impact, the elections, of course, are, you know, four times the price of an in-person meeting. So when we're talking about the scale of impact, she's right in terms of, you know, actually saving money.
Yeah.
It seems to me that, I mean, obviously we're going to end up with a lot of telephone meetings if we don't have the in-person. We can't make up the time. An in-person meeting is approximately, well, we meet now for 4 days, so it's in the vicinity of 40-plus hours of meeting time. Mm-hmm. So we would have to meet every single week at the end of the year to make up that time. And if we did that, our Ring 2 bills would be through the ceiling, and we'd all hate each other. So we will lose time. And, you know, going to these telephone meetings, my perception is I talk to all of you for 3 to 4 hours, and if we're lucky, we achieve 3 to 4 things, and that's a good meeting. So part of what we need to accept is that we're going to be in a situation where we're never going to get past page 2 of our agenda all year long. We have a situation where people on this board have put forward motions that are never going to get heard by this board. And that's, you know, systemically and structurally, that's a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real problem in how we treat each other, and it's a real problem in our structures. If I thought that we were having a fiscal crisis about $15,000, I would go for this because, you know, it's a way to save $15,000. But, I mean, I'm looking at an organization that had $500,000 for the CPP in July and is now apparently flat broke. And it seems to me that $15,000 is not the amount that's at issue at all. In other words, it's a drop in the bucket, and we will spend it in one day, whether we have an in-person meeting or not.
Mm-hmm.
Accordingly, it doesn't strike me as a really effective way to address our financial shortfall. It doesn't
money as a way to actually improve our cash flow. So given that, it's a question of, are we not meeting because of PR, or are we not meeting because we don't really have any ideas about what to do about the cash flow problem, so even if we sat there for 37 hours, it wouldn't change anything. I mean, I hope that neither one of those is true, but that's the only way to me in which not meeting actually solves the problems that we're having. I would hope that in 48 hours of meeting time, we would do some serious thinking about this cash flow stuff and what the heck we're going to do about it, because it's getting worse, not better, and it has to be dealt with. In terms of PR, well, you know, PR is PR. We're here to do a job. We're not here to win a PR contest. So it seems to me that the solution is not a solution to the problem. In other words, it doesn't really do anything to drastically improve our cash flow. It doesn't really do anything to solve our long-term problems. It certainly doesn't do anything to make the board function better. It makes the board function worse. So I don't know why we're canceling the in-person, and I don't know what we would get out of doing it really at all. What we would get out of the in-person meeting is an unknown quantity, and I will totally accept that sometimes we have them and we get bupkis out of them. But that is really something that's up to the board, and that's about how we conduct ourselves and how we deal with the agenda and the things that we put on the agenda, which is really what this coordinating committee is supposed to do. It's supposed to structure the meeting so the meeting is constructive. And if we would stop going back and forth about whether or not we're going to have it and maybe concentrate a bit on how we're going to have it and make sure it's worth having, I would feel better about these coordinating committee meetings. That's it.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Campbell?
Yeah,
it's Athea.
Yeah, I think
Athea
was
right. Athea's next on the cat stacker. Did you want to be on the stacker, Campbell?
Let Athea, please, go.
Right. Well, you're about fourth on the stack, so okay. But go ahead, Athea.
Actually, I'm inclined to agree with at least most of what I understood what's-her-face to have just said. So you can see we definitely need an in-person meeting, since I can't even remember people's names or no longer recognize their voice. I think there's a tendency to be penny-wise and pound-foolish in this organization, and it's about to bankrupt the organization, number one. Number two is I think that crises are better addressed face-to-face than they are, in fact, addressed, as opposed to going off into never land about if we had a magic wand, what would rot. And therefore, that it's more responsible to go ahead and have the in-person meeting than spend the money in other ways that are not quite as promising. So I would clearly come down on the side of proceeding with the meeting and the coordinating committee fulfilling its obligation to ensure that it is a fruitful meeting. Further, I think that it's irresponsible to not have a meeting on the theory that there isn't money. It's prima facie evidence of a failure of leadership and a fiscal responsibility. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Teresa, then Lydia, then Campbell.
I want to address Bill's comment that, it's really inexpensive to have it in Houston. Yes, it is inexpensive to have it in Houston, and if we don't have it in Houston, we can have an inexpensive meeting in Houston in January or in May. I just think that with the elections, that people are really, really busy. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get people elected here, and we have people. We have meetings to watch debates. I'm trying to get people registered to vote. It's really, really busy, and who is going to organize this? Now, George Ryder says that Deb Shapto has organized everything, but I think that it takes staff to do this. I'm not even sure we have staff to do payroll right now. Sounds to me like our CFO is ill, and sounds to me like our comptroller is not feeling well, and sounds to me like Christine Niera is going to be organizing a lot of things, including, you know, trying to set up housing, trying to set up flights. Who's going to? Do we have the money to pay for the flights? I don't like to have flights without being able to pay for them. And putting the booklet together. I just think we're going through. You know, I appreciate what you're saying, Afia, but I think going through the motions without really being serious about working together is not going to work either. If we were really, really serious about working together and working through the problem, we could do it over the phone. I know we could. We could get these budgets passed over the phone. We could pass these next two budgets and the national budget just like we passed the first three. I know it's... Have we passed four yet? I just know it's possible.
Yes.
We should put our minds to it. And I'm willing to cooperate, and I'm willing to have conversations with all kinds of people. You talk about being able to have conversations in the hotel and wherever. If you want to have a conversation with me, fine. I've had people at face-to-face meetings say they didn't want to look me in the face and didn't want to talk to me. I've had people turn around and run from me. So they can do that at a face-to-face meeting if that's their attitude. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Lydia, and then Campbell.
Yes, in the 2 years that I've been on, we've had four in-person meetings, and we have not resolved anything about the financial crisis. In the 2 years I have been on, we have received two going concern warnings from the auditor. In the 2 years that I've been on, I haven't seen anything concrete from the board. Now, locally, like here, and as you know, I have a bylaws amendment to embody this, is that the local station board is organizing around the same time that we would be having this in-person meeting a fundraiser. And we scheduled our LSB meeting at the venue so the entire LSB can see the benefits of having the fundraiser there. So the LSB would have a fundraiser. We've talked this till we're blue in the face. Everybody has wonderful ideas, which you can continue emailing, but somebody still has to do it. And what we know is as staff is streamlined, then it's got to be up to the board to do it. You can't just come up with the ideas and expect staff to do it. We don't have much, certainly not at national or whatever. And so I just think it's time to do something. If you want to raise money for the foundation, ask your 10 closest friends, even if it's $5, $10, $15. And do some fundraising, as most of us do for the station, and then do some for the national. So I just think that that's what we have to do. And it doesn't require an in-person meeting to do that. It should be the opposite. We should be raising money for the foundation. I haven't seen this as a priority for this foundation since I've been on the board.
Okay, Campbell?
Yes, I think that the very positive suggestions that are made about going forward with a meeting still don't, in my view, balance out the amount of cost that we are going to have to entail without, you know, the idea of the rewards that might be suggested from an in-person meeting. I think the thing that we need to do in terms of our fiduciary responsibility to the foundation for its continued survival in these circumstances is clear, crystal clear, and it is to avoid this expenditure that does not have an explicit benefit associated with it. Bill very rightfully pointed out that we were supposed to be talking about a strategic plan at the last in-person meeting we had, and in fact That was one of the primary things that we had talked about in our coordinating committee, was that it was going to engage that. However, engaging the subject matter of a strategic plan and some specific fundraising projects other than something that would cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars was something that ended up being the last afternoon of the entire engagement, and was not something that could realistically be accomplished. I had admonished several people before we even went that, you know, if you're looking to do this in 2 hours, 3 hours, a strategic plan is not done in 2 or 3 hours in any competent kind of fashion. So I don't think that it was really taken seriously in the beginning. And I think the kinds of, prospects that I'm hearing now so far as what would be gained from an in-person meeting don't seem to be reflective of any more confidence in terms of the outcome than what I had heard previously. So I would urge us to support the PNB not having this in-person meeting when we are in such tenuous financial circumstances. Thank you.
Bill?
Okay, anybody else that has spoken at least once? or who hasn't spoken twice? Nia, you haven't spoken twice.
Right, I asked to John this day.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Go ahead, Nia.
You know, believe me, I really, really respect all the reasons for having a meeting, you know, from it being in the bylaws and we supposedly should interact better. Now, I have been on this board since 2008, right? And I have seen, every time we talk about, oh, we're going to have this particular discussion and the other discussion when we get there, and it's been nothing but monkey wrenches. I have said since 2009 that we needed to have a thorough financial discussion. Those of you who were on the board with me back then, every single solitary in-person meeting that we have this hard conversation about our finances, because this thing has been brewing from back then. It's not something that's just a year or 2 years old. And that has never happened. So if we're going to be really serious and do this, which, you know, to be honest with you, and I don't mean to be mean or anything, I just don't have the confidence that is going to happen. Number two, I hear about working together and about having names for the ED search. If we were, in fact, working together, you all would have had names last week for EDs and CFO, 10 for the ED and 10 for the CFO. But we did not work together to accomplish that, and we didn't need an in-person meeting to do that. But, no, we had to have a search because people politicize this. So we're not serious. It's all personal, and we know that. So let's be honest about all of this. This is all that is. They didn't want the personnel committee to handle this. So we're not going to have names in November. We're not going to have people to interview. I don't see how, like Summer said, I don't see how we could possibly do that. So when we talk about working together, let's not use that when it's just, you know, convenient for us, because we're really not serious. If we're serious, we would have had candidates, and they would have been ready for an in-person meeting in November. Thank you. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Let me bump myself on again. I hope we can kind of wrap this up because we're not deciding anything. If we were to cancel the meeting, or even if we don't, I'd like to see some more specific suggestions on how we can accomplish what we need to accomplish. I think approving the budgets will help a lot with the financial situation, but they also need to be management. Each station needs to follow them and needs to control expenses. That's how we got into the financial station we are in. We have not controlled expenses for years, at least not adequately, and when revenue drops, instead of doing something effective at least to boost revenue, we keep spending money, sometimes more money, and so the deficit goes up. I think we need to figure out how we can increase revenue and get more listeners and members and not just expect somebody else to do it. Our mission doesn't mean a lot if we can't do that, and if we do that, that will also help a lot with the finances, and we wouldn't have to make so many cuts. We have to get to the point where we can deal with our lack of working capital and work on our debt and rebuild some contingencies, you know, some funds at each station. But I'm not hearing suggestions on really how to do that. And I think if we don't have an in-person meeting, it's even going to be even harder to do any of that. But if somebody can come up with some suggestions how we can accomplish what we need to outside of an in-person meeting, I'm all ears.
I have a suggestion.
Okay, I heard Lydia and Teresa and who else was that? Nina?
I'm sorry, Bill, have you not heard me at any point? I've been trying to get put on the stacks.
Oh, okay, sorry, no, I didn't hear you other than that one
maybe
time.
Maybe I was muted. Sorry.
Go ahead, Summer, and then one second. Who else wanted to be on the stack again? Teresa and Lydia?
Lydia and Nia.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Summer.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess I have a procedural concern. Regardless of what I think of cash flow, and I mean, I take Tracy's points into account also. I mean, you know, like I said, the elections are the thing that should have been canceled this year if we were going to do something out of conformity with the bylaws. That would have been the smart money. But I don't know why we're discussing it on this call exactly, because this has already been voted on by the board, and it's not the job of a subcommittee. Like, again, regardless of my personal viewpoint on any of it, it isn't about, you know, my viewpoint on it. It's not the job of the coordinating committee to try and not do the planning for something that the board just voted on. So I guess on some levels I'm not sure what the purpose of this discussion is, because the coordinating committee's job at this point is to make the arrangements unless someone brings something to the full board and gets it rescinded, because this is voted on already. So I'm just bringing it up as a point of order. I mean, we're all expressing what we think about the financial picture, but it's not really appropriate. The coordinating committee isn't in a position to say don't have the meeting. The board already voted to have the meeting. Someone would have to bring that to the board to rescind that motion.
So, that being said, there has been a motion to rescind.
Right, but it hasn't been voted upon. I mean, where we're operating at right now, I guess is what I'm saying, is as a subcommittee, this subcommittee isn't in a position to cancel the meeting.
Point of information, Bill, will that motion be on the agenda Thursday?
Yeah, it was out.
Yeah, you know, the budget, the KPFK budget is probably the most urgent and important thing that we need to get to. I don't know how long that will take. What else is on the agenda.
Will that motion come to the floor on Thursday?
We can bring it to the floor on Thursday. I mean, I suppose.
I can't guarantee anything gets to the floor, because what I can just guarantee is that whatever is first or second or third only,
that floor has a hole in it.
Yeah, you all know that you know, I can personally testify that I can't guarantee anything will get to the floor. Here's what I think, okay, procedurally, Bill. I think that this coordinating committee needs to pick a date for the meeting, all right? I think that we need to finish making the preliminary decisions here based on what has already been voted on by the board. If it's rescinded on Thursday, boom, we haven't lost anything. But I think to a certain extent, to continue on the whether or not we should have a meeting is irrelevant in this committee, because this committee can't say don't have a meeting. The board has to say don't have a meeting, and the board already voted and said have a meeting. So I would like, I guess, to move the – if it's the orders or the agenda, I think we should pick a date based on what's already been passed by the board, and then we can see if something different happens on Thursday. But I think that we should tentatively pick a date. What is the amount of money? If it isn't rescinded and we go forward with an in-person meeting, what is the amount of money that the hotel that Deb is looking at? What are we talking about here in hard numbers?
I have several questions. First, what I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I think before you came on, is that the board already authorized a range of dates depending on what's available. And the weekend that was best for the most people was November 9th through 12th. And the hotels that Deb looked at, they could handle any of those dates we wanted for the same rate. And so if we're going to do it, it's going to be that weekend. The rates, I was going to go try to come up with a total estimate for the whole meeting, and I came up around $17,000 or $18,000, including travel. That assumes things like we can average about $150 each way on airfare.
Sure.
And it's not hard going to Houston. We're not traveling all the way across the country. If people pick the least expensive fare that's available, not just demand having a nonstop flight at the time most convenient for them, the rooms are including tax. There was a little question about part of the tax, since we're a tax-exempt organization, but it's going to be around $100, including tax per room. If you put two people in there, it's the same amount. I believe there were $79 plus tax. One way to save money is not have the second meeting room. The meeting rooms are $300 for the big room, $250 for the other one, plus the service charge, which I do not understand, of 20% for the room, plus 8.25% tax, and then food also. So the grand total per day, if we have all the meals there and have both rooms and all taxes, is about, let me see, that was about $2,100. That's for the meeting rooms and food.
And are we looking at three or
the hotel room?
Were we looking at a 3-day meeting or a 4-day meeting?
Well, 4-day meeting. And that, you know, we discovered that last year, that it ended up usually becoming about even, possibly even being less expensive because of airfares are generally less, coming back on Monday instead of Sunday afternoon or evening.
Okay. I would definitely ditch the secondary room. It's always been told to me that we need to have a second room in case, you know, a mob mentality breaks out. We've got to clear the room. You know, I'll just clear the room if that happens. I think, you know, we frequently do not need the second room. It's merely a matter of, dealing with the public and everything. And I think with politeness and being firm, one can deal with the public.
That would save about $1,200.
Good. Get rid of the second room then, please. Is my recommendation. So here's my attitude towards everything that we're required to do by the bylaws and things that I look at and go, oh boy, I don't want to do this right now. Is if we can't get away from doing it altogether, then we need to trim every little excess piece that we can off of it. So I would get rid of the secondary room, save that $1,200. I would recommend that we go for the date of the 9th to the 12th, okay, and that we firm up some of these issues. And if a motion to rescind passes on Thursday is only 3 days from now, I'm sure the hotel doesn't have to be booked by Thursday, but I would suggest that this meeting here tonight that we firm up some of those details so that if this continues going forward, we're done with that. Coordinating committee, that's part of the problem. Coordinating committee meets once a month. We're meeting every week as a board at this point, so the value of the coordinating committee's ability to help to structure the agenda, et cetera, is somewhat lost when you meet much more frequently than that committee. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we start having 4 coordinating committee meetings a month. So, but anyway, I think it's the role
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's the role of the coordinating committee in this situation, based on the structure of the board and the committees, to go ahead and firm up the plans based on the currently passed board resolution. If that gets rescinded quickly, then that's a different situation. But I think our role here tonight is not to try and to second guess that, but simply to firm up those plans. So I recommend getting rid of the second room. I recommend that we take the 9th through the 12th. And if there's any other place that we can achieve cost savings, I would look for those and go for them. And certainly hard enforcement of the travel policy in terms of pre-booking and everything. So.
Okay, well, just to answer your question, just point of information, yeah, the hotel, if they're still holding it, I don't know how long they'll hold it without a deposit. They want 50% of those meeting rooms and food expenses. So if we don't have the second room, the meeting rooms and food will be about $6,000, and that's for all the meals except for the one meal we'll have when we have the station reception and tour.
And then that does not include the sleeping rooms?
No, that does not include that. And so, what Deb gave me didn't say they needed a deposit for that.
That's quite possible. They probably want to nail down the meeting rooms first. So
yeah.
They would need $3,000 on signing of the contract.
Right. And possibly something for the meeting rooms. I mean, the individual rooms, but they didn't say that in the paperwork that Deb gave me.
Okay, well, they might not need it just yet for that, too. So, okay.
But I agree with you that we should probably continue with that, and if the board votes to rescind it on Thursday, then we probably need to have a working group meeting or something scheduled so that we can figure out there's some way we can accomplish what we need to accomplish without that and without spending a lot more money.
There you go.
We had Teresa and Lydia and Dee on the stack, and again, let's hope we don't just keep talking about this all evening, because we do have more things to do. regarding specifics. So, Teresa?
I think one way that we could immediately save a lot of money is if we went with opt-in rather than opt-out in the elections mailing. If we all concentrated on other means of getting people to vote, we could save probably at least $50,000.
Okay, I'll tell you what, that really doesn't have anything to do with the coordinating committee. So
no,
I'm going to rule that out of order.
You asked for ways to save money, and that's a good one, right?
Okay.
There.
Okay. Anything related to our meetings, telephonic or in person?
Oh, the other thing is, if Bill, we've used a number before, and if we went with the national board and I sent a poll out and I said, you know, East Coast, almost everybody in the world has a phone that doesn't charge minutes after 8 o'clock. And our meetings start East Coast after, 7:30? And my phone, unlimited minutes after 7. So if we polled people and went with a number that was not toll-free, and those people that, for no reason, there was no way they could get access to a phone, if we could give them a phone card to use, then I think we could save a lot of money on our calls. I'm just talking about the PNB, not the committee meetings, just the PNB meetings, telephone meetings. And I think, aren't the numbers that we've used, Bill, for some of our side meetings, like for committee, subcommittees or something, aren't those free?
We've used some other numbers, conferencing services for working groups for several committees, but they're not toll free. Right.
Okay, but not toll free.
A lot of people have a problem with that. But they're
free in that the national, the foundation would not have to pay anything.
Correct.
So if we had like our meeting on Thursday, if everybody didn't call into a toll free number but called this other number, instead of paying $1,000, we'd pay nothing. Maybe a couple phone cards. That's my second idea of raising money. Saving money. Thank you.
Okay. We have Lydia, then Mia, then Tracy.
Yeah, my concern is both for the in-person meeting that we had in January, 25,000, I believe, was expected between 20 and 25, and it turned out to be 30. The meeting in Berkeley was projected and sold as costing us $20,000, and it was $25,000. So it seems to me that we're on track to have it be more regardless of how we try to trim here and there. So, of course, I still support not having it. I also want to tell people, I don't know how many people are involved with nonprofits in terms of managing them, but I think you have to be fiscally prudent and cut back on things. But cutting back austerity measures is not a fundraising strategy. I don't even know where most people think that that's going to be the magic bullet. It's important because that's why I'm supporting not having this meeting. But over and above that, we have to actually come up with tangible, not pie in the sky. We just have to do it. If the board was a unit, imagine how we would be. And I wish that we were. I wish we had a budget and we had to raise our own money and have a fundraisers for it, to have the Pacifica National Board meetings to see how attractive that is to people.
Okay, thank you. Mia. Can't hear you, Mia. Like you're muted.
I really don't have anything else to say because it's why? It's just a waste of my time to say anything else. It's okay. Let's move on.
Okay, thank you. Tracy, I do hope we can wrap this up, this discussion. Go ahead, Tracy.
Oh, is it my turn? Okay. I think that's a good idea, Teresa, but the problem with it in the past has been that you can't stream off of those free conference call members. You can record and put up an archive, but you can't stream And so we end up violating CPB open requirements. So basically we can't have any of our official committees or any of our full PNB meetings on free conference type numbers, unfortunately. And that's the nature of the beast with the CPB open requirements and the way that the board meets on the teleconferences. In terms of the board, in terms of the overruns at previous board meetings, the board meetings were projected that everybody would catch the flight that they were originally on, and that everybody would cost half a room rather than a full room. And what happens, unfortunately, with our board meetings is that things go wrong with people's flights, or they book at the last minute, or they miss them, or they have to rebook them for some reason. And so I know in Berkeley at least two people had to rebook their flights, so you ended up paying twice. And, of course, when you rebook a flight at the last minute, you pay a lot more. And I think at both meetings we had four or five board members not sharing hotel rooms. So those are costs that potentially don't have to be there. They often are, and I don't know if there's something that we can or can't do to control them. But when we talk about overruns, that's pretty much where most of the overruns come from. That's it.
Thank you. And by the way, I don't think whether it's a toll-free or non-toll-free conference service makes any difference about streaming. As long as you can call in to the conference, the person doing the streaming can stream it and archive it. Okay, well, can we go on and start planning what we're going to do for the meeting? And if it's rescinded, we still need to figure out how we're going to do that, I guess by conference calls. So Campbell mentioned and I mentioned strategic planning seems to be something we really need, and it seems like several people are talking about the need for additional fundraising and membership development, getting new members, I believe, are those two major topics we should try to address.
This is Yuki. I'd like to make a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
And that is that, that we have a full financial report with regard to income and expenses, especially the off-requested accounts payables, so that we can have a factual picture of what the economics of the foundation is, as opposed to these relying purely on projected budgets and rather than fact. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I know LaBorne's not on the call, but Summer, do you think we could make sure we have that information for the meeting?
Sure, if you want to make it my responsibility instead of the CFO's, I will see to it that we have it. I am certainly working on getting those things internally, and I have been getting some better quality data in the last few days. So, that's fine. Can somebody send me the notes in a minute? Full financial report with major payables and cash flow, all the types of things we'd like to see at a board meeting? Definitely.
Let's say a balance sheet also.
Balance sheet, yes.
And the income statement.
I am happy to be engaged in seeing to it that the necessary documents are produced for the benefit of the board, okay?
So,
I would appreciate, though, since I have 500 things per day on the plate right now, just, you know, how do I put this? Send me the minutes after the meeting. That's what I'm asking for, okay? I'll commit to it, but since it isn't my department, I want to make sure that, you know, I will distribute, commit, and follow up on it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Campbell,
I've got that.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm happy to make sure that we get all those documents produced to the best of my ability to do so. Okay.